This is Brian Oakes, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Erskine, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman. We'll have a report from Tyler Donaldson as well. Another round of bitter cold in the forecast. Morning lows in the single digits and teens below zero. Wind chills down in that 30 below range across northeast North Dakota, the northern Red River Valley, and northwest Minnesota. A cold weather advisory remaining in effect for those areas till 10 o'clock this morning. Looking ahead to today and tomorrow, a couple of fast-moving clippers bringing light snow showers to the region. Snow totals expected to be light, 1 to 3 inches possible in some areas by tomorrow evening. Winds will turn gusty tomorrow, northwesterly winds topping 30 miles per hour at times, which could lead to some travel impacts. Temperatures middle of the week less extreme, sub-zero lows, but highs ranging from the upper single digits to low teens. And toward the end of the week, a strong Arctic air mass moves back in. Temperatures will fall below zero by midday Thursday and remain there through the weekend. Morning lows Friday and Saturday expected to dip into the 20s below zero, along with very low wind chills. President Donald Trump's threat to impose tariffs on countries that do not support his plan to acquire Greenland is raising new concerns about trade stability and the ripple effects on U.S. agriculture. Washington, D.C. analyst Jim Wiesmeyer says the move underscores how fragile existing trade agreements can be.
This has a lot of ramifications, but it also shows, since he attacked 8 European countries, including the U.K. U.K. is not, part of the EU anymore. This shows the ups and downs of the trade agreements that we've had, that they're not locked in, even when you have an agreement with the United States. And that's just not good from a stability standpoint.
Wiesmeyer says that uncertainty making domestic demand increasingly critical for farm country, especially as trade tensions expand beyond the European Union.
That makes domestic utilization of U.S. Farm products, especially corn and soybeans, even more important. That's why they have to finally announce officially what's the renewable fuel standard mandate going to be for 2026 and 2027 RFS levels for corn and soybeans, and also the 45Z program, sustainable aviation fuel. Because if your trade policy is throwing off question marks, we have to let the other gear, domestic utilization, kick in, and we've got question marks there all over the place.
The president's push to take possession of Greenland, paired with threats of the new tariffs on countries that don't support that plan, raising alarms in farm country. Minnesota Farmers Union President Gary Wordish says the renewed trade uncertainty once again could leave agriculture bearing the cost.
It's just the chaos that the president primarily is. It's primarily coming from the president, how he's doing this. Now his goal is to have Greenland, and Greenland's part of with Denmark, and it's part of a NATO country, so it's very damaging. And this, there again, it's going to affect agriculture. As we do trade, the administration is touted that they've made a lot of trade deals, but it's really all they've been is frameworks so far. We haven't seen any final details on anything yet, but this just sets us back even farther. They had supposedly come to agreements with a lot of the EU, and then now this throws that all in chaos again.
Wordish says the situation is especially concerning given recent efforts to rebuild those relationships with key trading partners in Europe and the United Kingdom.
It's just unfortunate. And there again, farmers and agriculture, we're going to face the brunt of this too. Because as you said earlier, Minnesota primarily, in the U.S., we're making progress and working with, especially with the EU. Now we're basically starting a war with the EU again, all over the president's fantasy of wanting to own Greenland.
Ag groups are warning Congress that rural America is facing a deepening economic crisis. In a letter sent out, 56 organizations representing a broad cross-section of agriculture say that many farms are facing an existential threat, with producers financially underwater, farm bankruptcies continuing to rise, and growers struggling to secure financing to plant a crop this year. The group say the past 3 to 4 years of record high input costs, combined with rapidly declining and historically low commodity and specialty crop prices, have led to sustained negative margins. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Just 2 days after the president described the USMCA as irrelevant, Canada forging a framework for a new strategic partnership with China, its second largest trading partner, albeit only a small fraction of its first place American partner. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney said the preliminary deal with China structured to remove trade barriers and to reduce tariffs.
This is enormous progress. Starting from March 1st, we fully expect canola tariffs to drop from 85% to approximately 15%. And that's going to create an opportunity combined between meal and seed, a $7 billion market opportunity. A new era, whether it's in canola, other grains, pulses, lobster, beef, pork. It's a return to Canada as an important agriculture partner with China.
Saskatchewan is the single largest producer of canola products and a major pulse grower. That province's premier, Scott Moe, was part of the Canadian delegation to China. Moe was extremely pleased with the trip's outcome.
It is going to literally allow billions of dollars of agricultural products of all kinds, whether it's canola, pulse crops, seafood, to flow again, with additional exports into China as well. So a good day for Canadians.
2025, a banner year for corn production in the United States. Iowa State University economics professor Chad Hart says the corn numbers that came out in last week's supply-demand report were eye-opening.
USDA found not only was it a great year for growing corn, but every time they looked at this crop, they found a few more acres to bring in. And so here in January, they were like, as they looked at the totals, they ended up adding 100,000 acres to the corn planted area. They added 1.3 million acres to corn harvested. Now, in this case, a lot of that ground had been planted to corn, but it was originally intended for silage. But given how great a year it was for production, we were able to fill those silage bins up fairly quickly, and therefore we had more acres in silage than we needed, and so that acreage got redirected back into the grain market, which allowed us to add that 1.3 million acres.
2026 looks to be another big year for corn production.
They do expect us to plant a little less corn, but it's still a very strong corn production number. We're looking at planted area around 95 million acres, so giving up about 3.8 million acres as we're looking forward here, but still would be the second highest total we've had in the past 5 years. Put a trend line yield to that of 182 bushels per acre, and that puts us at production being estimated at 15.8 billion bushels. So very strong production numbers. And so we need demand to be resilient here. And for the most part, that's what USDA is projecting.
Argentina's corn crop under pressure as planting hits 91.7% complete, the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange reports. Pollination underway, 35% nationally, nearly 70% for early planted corn. But dry weather has cut good to excellent ratings to 64%, down 11 points from last week. Meanwhile, Brazil's 2026 soybean crop shaping up for record levels. Though estimates are differing, some analysts see production topping 180 million metric tons, while Brazil's national supply company trimming its forecast to 176 million. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association says livestock producers remain frustrated after gray wolf delisting language was removed from a recent appropriations bill. NCBA Director of Government Affairs Garrett Edmonds says the fight is far from over.
Well, what I would say is if it was that easy, we would never have any of these species issues that we see out in the West. We've seen this before, and like I said, it's nothing new whenever appropriators feel the need to not change anything that could risk the legislation as a whole. Even something that may seem minor in that regard could pull the votes necessary to see it pass. And so this has happened before. This is why we're focused on the full legislative front with the Pet and Livestock Protection Act.
Edmund says NCBA now turning their attention to that legislation that would provide long-term solution for producers impacted by wolves.
Multiple administrations have agreed the wolf needs to be delisted. One of the big issues that for our producers especially is certainty around their operations. We continue to see this flip-flop in regulatory guidance on the wolf listing itself. And so that's the reason, number one, why we're trying to approach this fix legislatively. It needs to be codified in Congress so we can stop the regulatory flip-flopping.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. NDSU Extension is hosting their Nelson County Ag Day this week. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has the details.
NDSU Extension Nelson County agent Tracy Trosted says they have a full schedule of great speakers for this year's Ag Day.
So we got a really great program. We have a crop outlook from Frayne Olson and some small grain diseases from Andrew Friscott. And then we have our lunch that's also sponsored by our Nelson County Crop Improvement. And we'll have our meeting at the same time with some of our commodity elections. And then in the afternoon, we have more of our livestock portions. We have Miranda Meehan, who's doing livestock water quality. And then James Rogers, who's going to talk about the importance of making and preserving quality forages. And then at the end, we're going to wrap it up with Skylar Moline. She's from the FSA office. She's right now our Nelson County Acting Director. It's about what all the FSA has to offer and how they can help.
Trosted says that Ag Day is for everyone in the agricultural sphere. Everyone is welcome to attend.
Anyone who either has questions about ag or wants to learn more, whether they're directly involved by having their own crops and livestock, or they're a farmhand, or they're just super curious and interested about it, or maybe they're an insurance agency for crops and whatnot. It's for anyone in any county. I encourage everyone to come, and if they want more information on it, they can call our office at 701-247-2521, or we have stuff all over Facebook for it. We have an ad going out, and we also have on our NDSU Nelson County Extension website information about it too.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
In December, Mexico launching an anti-dumping and anti-subsidy investigations into U.S. pork hams and shoulders. U.S. Meat Export Federation Vice President of Economic Analysis Aaron Boers says USMEF is helping exporters provide information to Mexican authorities, showing strong demand has led Mexican buyers to outbid other regional customers of U.S. pork, resulting in higher volumes and prices.
Mexico is our top export destination for U.S. pork. They are our dominant customer for hams in particular, of which this case is focused, again, specifically on hams and shoulders. So if we look at our total U.S. pork and variety meat exports to Mexico in 2025, they will have exceeded about 1.2 million metric tons and valued around $2.8 billion. Those are both new records. And Mexico will have accounted for about 42% of our export volume last year. So absolutely critical market. And importantly, these exports to Mexico have gone at higher prices. Mexico has had what seemed like an insatiable demand for U.S. pork, and those bone-in hams, fresh, flowing 24/7, are a perfect fit into Mexico's vast processing sector.
Looking at markets right now in overnight trade, Minneapolis wheat May is up 2.5 at 576.25. Looking at May Chicago, we're down 3.25 right now at 525.5. March Kansas City is down 2.25 at 525. March corn trading down 2.25 now at 422.5. July down 1.5 at 436.5. And March soybeans were down 0.5 cent at 10.57¼. The May is down 0.75, 10.68. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.